Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, I am so happy to have back on our program, not as an author, not as a movie producer, not as a businessman, but as a candidate for the Township of West Orange Council, Mr. William Michael Barbie. Michael, welcome to the program.
Brother, I truly appreciate you for this opportunity. It is good seeing you. I am so happy and honored to have relationships with people like yourself who have been doing much for the community. And I applaud you for staying true to the craft, man. So thank you for having me.
Oh, man, so good. You know, I tell you, I had a very interesting time listening to the debate with the other candidates, which we will extend an invitation for them to come on the program. It'll be up to them to decide if they want to come on, because we want to be fair and to all candidates. But let's kick it off. Can you please explain to the residents of West Orange why you are running for the council position of the Township of West Orange, and what do you bring to the table?
Well, I appreciate the intro and everything. West Orange has been my home for over 20 years. I've chosen to get involved in the forefront of the political agenda because, like many residents, we've been dissatisfied with the present administration's. It's not that, you know, West Orange is a horrible place, because it's a fabulous place to live and raise your family. It's a safe place to call home. One of the things that I looked at was, how do I connect my expertise to providing resources for the residents who may be looking for something different? And so when I say looking for something different, a lot of times people become complacent with systemic issues. Mm-hmm. And so they don't know that they're as worse off as they are. Mm-hmm. We talk about taxes. We talk about various things. We talk about small businesses. We talk about inclusion and diversity. We speak about everything from a business layout plan. Mm-hmm. But the challenge is, the council as it exists in this fashion does not have representation from the business community. And so when we constantly are at the table discussing or arguing or saying, hey, I wish this had happened, that had happened. I've been doing things on the national level, the state level, the county level, the city level for a while. And so why not come to the forefront? I will say this also, Darrell. I've been connected with boards, be it the Mental Health Association of Essex and Morris, for over 10 years. I've been an advocate for the disabled and mental health community. People in town don't know Mike Barbie, because being on boards, and as you are aware, is not about yourself. It's about giving yourself to something greater. Right. And so the organizations are making footprints in West Orange and in the county, and we're doing a phenomenal job. Interestingly enough, with the pilot program with the West Orange Police. So 2 years ago, the Mental Health Association and the West Orange Police partnered. But the residents still like, who is this Mike Barbie guy trying to get into politics? And so Mike Barbie has always been in politics. And so I happen to be the board secretary for the past 4 or 5 years of that organization that has its direct footprint. Why now? Other reasons. I sit on the board at the Salvation Army. And every year we're tolling. We're meeting every month, but every year we're in the street. But during the holidays, we toll. And we target the West Orange population. Right now, we're experiencing in some populations food deserts. We have a homeless problem that is arising in our town. And so how do we provide services? You have the Salvation Army. You have other organizations. You have the New Jersey Food Bank. It's important that we bring these entities together to have dialogue, to try to mitigate or reduce the increase as it occurs within town. So why Mike Barbie's running? Why? Because Mike Barbie has all these resources. And, you know, initially the idea someone told me was, hey, you should consider that mayorship. This is the perfect time. I said, no, I need to hit the ground, start in the council, speak to the people, go door to door. And so that's why I'm running. I'm running to make
And so I noticed today everyone was all and the video that I watched, it was an hour long of the debate of you and your fellow candidates, that everyone was saying that there needed to be a what a city planner to be hired.
Yes.
And the one thing that I thought was lacking in the discussion was that no one was questioning the current budget and how maybe that should be reviewed and then reviewed to determine, based upon our needs today, how should those dollars be spent? What are your views in regard to looking at the current budget and reallocating the funds to go towards the projects that you were discussing?
Well, I think looking at the budget is utmost important. I think that's one of the primary things, especially as a council member, one of your responsibilities is to approve the budget. And so while the mayor may draft their idea, his, her idea, or their dream or vision, it's the council that should be reviewing the budget to determine how to allocate funds. I listen to the narrative, and what I always try to do is to bring parallels to a discussion. So when people speak to the issue of defunding the police and people think, oh my God, you're taking money away from police. But it's speaking to just what you're suggesting, which is reallocating some resources to better educate, provide other types of services to do a more robust service for the residents. So yes, looking at the budget is very important, man. I think that is first and utmost.
And so currently, what is the process for the budget? Who pulls the budget together? And of course, the council votes on it. Does the council have direct influence on the creation of the budget?
I'm not certain if they have direct influence on the creation. I think it's with the mayoral, whoever the mayor is the one who's writing, putting together the budget with his team or her team. And it's the council who is to review and to accept or deny. And so looking at budgets, you have to determine where there is excess. There are a lot of times you have excess money that's being wasted because this has been here. No one has questioned. When it looks at look at contracts that go out into the community for open bids, people aren't questioning. So they keep these certain line items in the budget. And so you have a lot of wasteful spending that occurs. And so how do we get rid of that? You have to really have people on the council who can study the budget, who know what business looks like and understands finance, understand budgeting. But you don't always have that. And so you tend to have in certain administrations, unfortunately, a lot of rubber stamping. And so a lot of times you have people who just push budgets along based on what the request is. And there's never a questioning from why don't you have a town planner, the attorneys that you have on board, the consultants that you're paying. There are a whole lot of excess stuff that is padded into budgets that needs to be reviewed. And I think that has to be an open discussion.
Wow. Now, in order to change the budgeting process, will that require a change that the public will have to vote on, or is that within the jurisdiction of the mayor and the city council?
I think that's with the leadership. I don't think the public, I'm almost certain that the public isn't the one that's directly going to say yay or nay, because what happened, the public elects competent people to represent them. And those competent people are supposed to be able to review and understand what's under their purview, what is under their control, and what are the guidelines for accepting or either rejecting budgets.
Considering, I mean, you had the mental health business, you had the chauffeur business, you had the delivery business. What is your thoughts about downtown development? What will it take to spur new economic development in the township of West Orange?
Well, let me, before we even go there, let me go back and just help you on what I had and what I sold and what I still have. And
Okay, because
so
you got a lot.
part of my background, which started 37 years ago with limousine service. And after the limousine service, or during the time, because we just closed limousine service during COVID, after 37 years of being in business, we had the private ambulance service. And we had that for a number of years. And along at the same time, we had the school bus where we provided transportation for the disabled. And we also had a charter bus company. So we had those four transportation companies operating at the same time. So we had close to 50-something employees with those four entities.
Right.
At the same time, we've had commercial office property as well as residential investment pieces under our organization. In addition, we had daycares. We were partnered in to the original brand of Karate for Youth. We made it Karate for Kids. We had four locations serving over 600 kids a day throughout the Newark, Irvington, Maplewood areas. And then we had the mental health clinic, which we started 14 and a half years ago, which is still up and running. So that's the background for business that is coming to the table to speak to some type of development or the idea of a development process here in West Orange. Interestingly enough, with that background, the goal for West Orange, as I see it, has to start in stages. And even though, you know, how long must we wait? You know, it's almost a delayed tactic that administrations use when they don't have an idea or a plan.
Right.
So as a guy who's been very strategic, who has designed, built his companies from ground up, developing a plan requires us having professionals to come in and evaluate what we have.
Yeah.
And see why it's not working.
Right.
Look at our vision for what we want. And now what we want at the table, it just can't be council people who have no background or understanding. And so one of the things that I propose is that you have roundtables where you bring the small, medium, and big businesses to come together to speak to the concerns of the business community in a certain district or area.
Yep.
What tends to happen, you have locals, and I applaud the people I've been meeting, people I was born 75 years ago in West Orange, and I was this and I was that. Uh-huh. And what they tend to do is have a cycle. You start here, you go there, you go here, you go here. I was a district leader. I was PTA president. I'm a council. I'm a candidate for mayor. And so they go with that stuff. And along the way, the question is, what have you learned?
Right.
And if you haven't learned anything, business is not only just a skill. You got to know what you're doing.
Right.
You need an education in some way, shape, or form. Now, I have to say that the majority of billionaires that we know, most of them didn't go to college or at least finish.
Right.
But they're less than that 1%. But us here is not, I went to college, sure, I have a degree from Rutgers in business management, but I have to say I was in business before I got my degree.
Right.
But what the school did, it gave me some fundamentals on basics.
Yep.
And so as a council person coming to the council, it is my hope to bring a foundation where you're bringing together like minds for a vision, not just people who lived in the town or people who, and I think there needs to be town representation at the table as well,
uh-huh,
because the residents' voice matters, because that's why we're there from the start.
Right.
And so bringing the residents' voice along with the business community on all three levels, small, medium, large business, and municipal influence to the table to see how we can best develop what area.
Right.
Now, the idea of what the development is, they're talking about the downtown corridor. Darrell, I have to say, I think the first mistake we do in West Orange is we compare ourselves to other towns.
Uh-huh.
We're not Bloomfield. We're not South Orange. We're not Montclair. We're West Orange. We have natural resources within our town.
Right.
We have the greenery. I mean, we have the most luscious parks. We have the reservation. We have so many beautiful things, and we're so multicultural. So when we're talking about business and we're talking about development, all of those factors have to come to the table.
Right, right, right.
And I don't think what is there, the reason why it's not there, why it's still the discussion, why it still looks the same way it's done, is because you lack the experience at the table. And so you have to create, and I think I'm the first one to keep talking about roundtable discussions with the business community, residents, and governors.
And so in the past, they've had these discussions, but nothing has happened. If you were to be successful, and I hope you are in your election, what is probably the first project that you're going to like really go for to drive forward?
Well, I think there are many things that are important to different sects of residents throughout the town. I've been the biggest advocate of mental health.
Yes.
And being a former consumer of mental health services to an advocate, to an owner, now board member for the Mental Health Association, it's important that I address the time that we're living in because it impacts everything we do. And so when we look at our mental wellness, we have to look at this country, this world has just come through and we're still dealing with COVID.
We're still dealing with it.
In 3 years, I've lost over 80 loved ones to COVID, 19 related illnesses. And so to believe that I'm not impacted in a negative way would be very short-sighted. If I'm impacted, I know that there are students in school whose loved ones may not be here. How do they deal with that when the adults can't deal with it? And so I think the first thing that I want to explore is dealing with some type of mandatory courses or including in the curriculum for schools. And I know that there's a difference in the Board of Education and the township, but right. We do give 62% of our budget or more to the Board of Education. So we should have some seat at table, should have some discussion. But to me, I think there needs to be mandatory education. I'm finishing up on my graduate studies after all these years. It's because I wanted to, and it's going to be in clinical counseling. And one of the things I'm learning, the importance is of group.
Yes.
And how group plays in the mental wellness and healing.
Yes.
I remember when I first got into graduate school, I was like, oh, no, I'm Mike Barbio. No, not the group. You know, they don't need to know that about me. Before long, man, I was the first one crying in the group. But what I found more rewarding was I realized more importantly that I wasn't alone. Now, imagine these students in West Orange who come from families who have been impacted by COVID.
Yes.
And maybe they haven't had lost a loved one, but their parents may have lost a job. Maybe we look at poverty one way, but we don't look at it as a result of being unemployed, not having food on the table. Then we have to talk about food deserts and food insecurity.
Yes.
And so when we look at that dynamic and see what that has brought us and where it's put us, we have to now explore how do we process that emotionally, mentally.
Right.
And for us to think that we can continue to move forward without addressing the children. You know that song, I Believe the Children Are the Future.
Yes, that's right.
Come on, and don't start singing it now.
Well, Whitney Houston shamed us all because she...
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. No one messes with it now. But I think we have to first look there. I'd be remiss if I say mental health wasn't the first thing that I'm going to look at. Mental health, mental wellness. Because it's impacted us all.
I'm really happy you're focused there because I've had a guest on my program who's a lawyer, Carlton Mayers, the second, who focuses on policing in America, and how policing really needs to adjust itself to really address their inefficiency of dealing with folks with mental health issues, and we're seeing that. Some communities are bringing in social advocates, if you will, to go on those calls to assure that, you know, it's not escalated out of control. So I applaud that. And I think when you were talking in the debate about policing, you mentioned that very fact about there needs to be a higher social conscience of management and the police department of dealing with this. And homelessness is escalating everywhere.
Sure. Yeah. You know, interestingly enough, when you speak to that, I was an advocate for police having mental health services provided before it became something that we've actually practiced. And it wasn't so much to sit in the car, ride, and as with the Mental Health Association, review the body cam, do the trainings as a partnership. And again, with a pilot program, Mental Health Association of Essex Mars, with the West Orange Police's pilot program for the state of New Jersey, it wasn't so much my idea years ago to say that that's what I envisioned, because I'm just a part of something greater. Yeah. What I always believe when I think about this stress load, and this is why I'm so much in support of our law enforcement and our first responders, the stress load that those people go through every single day. One minute it could be a wellness check. And just in a matter of a second, it could be a shooting, an accident. Just yesterday, there was a horrible accident on 280. Mm. And so I hear that all the time because it's not too far from where I live. And so I hear the sirens, I hear the skids. And so knowing that our law enforcement are seeing this, that is trauma. How do we address trauma? And so when you have someone who's sworn to serve and protect, we have to ensure that their mental wellness is taken care of. Yes. And, you know, earlier we talked offline about when people talk about defunding the police and messing that whole conversation up, it's not to take money from police, it's to sometimes align resources with the jobs that they're already doing, because they need our support in many ways.
Oh, no doubt about it. Let's talk about DEI. There was something that you said that I thought was very, very compelling about this conversation about DEI. And to quote, and correct my quote, my paraphrase of your quote,
we may sound better than my actual quote, so I ain't going to correct you. Go ahead.
We need to see diversity within city government.
Sure.
So how bad has that problem been about a lack of diversity in the township of West Orange?
Well, what I've seen in many areas, and I'm not just I'm running for office in West Orange, but it's prevalent all over. In the debate, I did bring a different perspective because it seemed as if many of the candidates were saying similar things. And so I'm always off the beaten path when it comes to something that's sensitive, being a person of color, growing up in a house where social and civil rights were on the forefront. And so hearing the pretty language, and everyone can read the script, diversity and inclusion, and it sounds pretty, but if it's not enacted in the administration, right, if it's not the optics that I'm looking at, I have to wonder how diverse and how inclusive have we been, and what are our plans to get there? As I think about it, you know, we all ended up in that narrative at that debate, speaking to the importance of it being taught in the school level as well. I said it's hard to believe that if you're teaching it in the school and it's not reflected in the administration, it's hard to believe that those things are possible.
Right.
And so rather than saying the school, which is a delay tactic, as we are aware, is coming, so we're going to teach it down here, but what about now? And so diversity and inclusion, often they do put a face of color somewhere and say, look. And so as we talk about diversity and inclusion, it becomes very robust subject matter. We could talk about contracts. I don't see people who look like me. And African-Americans, I believe, represent 27%. Hispanics, I think 24% of the population in West Orange. And people who don't look like us having these major contracts, I have to wonder.
Well, that's something else that you raised the concern, which I want to highlight, and is the transparency of the bidding process. Can you speak to how you feel that there needs to be more transparency and clarity around the bidding process?
Yeah, when we talk about transparency, and in the debate I did speak, and I went off the trail to bring a very important issue of conflict of interest and all these other factors to the equation. And when we look at it from that perspective, I have to address the issue. Hold on 1 minute.
Yep.
You hear the noise in the background?
It's okay.
Okay.
No, we're all good. Right, so we, I mean, okay. Let me tell you, you saw my cat walk across, and so you might see my dog. So, you know, this is COVID time, you know. got delivery trucks coming through, so hey.
Yeah. I'm sorry. So, talking about transparency. All right. So when we're looking at transparency, at the debate, I did speak to transparency in the sense of the bidding process. Yes. And so with the bidding process, the other candidates were saying how fair the system is. And I said it isn't fair because I remember over 20 years ago trying to get bids with the county. It wasn't until someone who I happened to know on the inside to tell me, oh, you got to apply to this over here, which I thought I was already in the portal. And there was some other area where contracts were being had. And so I have to wonder about the bidding process, how transparent it's been. People who work for institutions tend to speak to how well they're run. Ironically, we have two candidates who are employees of institutions. And so it's hard to be objective if you're being employed by an entity that should have fair and open practices to the residents.
Right.
And so that's where I always speak to the issue of conflict of interest. And I do understand the whole relationship that we have to have elected. But I think we have to just really be transparent with everything, because you cannot tell me if minorities collectively is over 50% in the township of West Orange and the bids are not going at least in the majority towards the minority who's represent people of color who represents the majority of the town. I can't see where it's fair.
Right, right.
And so the question then lies, who's getting the contracts? How are they receiving the contracts? How are they getting the information? I remember something, and I said it years ago, and I don't want to bring people into this narrative who are in other communities. But I have to speak to, there has to be an education.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Add on how the government works for the bidding process. There has to be public forums where the business community within that township of West Orange can come to. And yep. So this type of narrative wouldn't be common on the council, because they haven't had representation from the business community to speak this language.
Right.
And so while we could complain about what's not happening and applaud the good things that we're doing, we're actually missing the larger issue. And so when they talk transparency, we have to also talk conflict of interest. We have to speak to all of these things, because all of those things to me sit in the same basket. And you can't just take a little out of here and a little out of here. No, you got to clean out the basket. I wrote a book, Darrell. I have 4 books out now since we last spoke.
Right. You're a writing machine.
Yeah, man. And one of the books is What's in Your Bag?
Uh-huh.
What's in your bag? Unpacking one item at a time.
Nice. Very nice.
And we all have baggage.
Yeah.
And that's the point. But being transparent to speak to whatever our conflicts are when we're the public's entrusting us to perform a service or a duty, we have to be that. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that we're very honest, very transparent, but we have to get there. And I don't think the process has been transparent because, again, I don't see our representation on those major contracts in the middle of the town.
So, Michael, as you know, time flies by. We have a minute left. And I'd like to give you the last word.
Well, I tell you, I've always lived by my mantra, lead more than you take. Is about giving of yourself to something greater. I believe that wholeheartedly. It is my hope to garner the support, and I hope through this program and many platforms like this that the residents of West Orange get a view for who their neighbor is. I didn't just pop up here. I've been here over 20 plus years. I didn't just start with community service. I've been on the board of directors for the Mental Health Association, Newark YMCA, Healthcare Foundation of the Oranges, where we actually do health fairs in West Orange. And so it is imperative and important that people understand that there's a person who is philanthropic, who works through the deeds that he's done over the years that have impacted residents of West Orange. So I didn't just happen to come here.
Well said, ladies and gentlemen. We are here with candidate for the Township of West Orange Council, Mr. William Michael Barbie, as our guest. Michael, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for coming on.
God bless you, Darrell.
Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up this week on Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. We want you to have a great weekend and be sure to vote on, what's the date of the election, Michael?
November 8th.
November 8th.
That famous day.
But remember, leadership begins with you.